the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Sports Talk begins with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. It's Rivalry Thursday. We're here at Gatlinburg-Pittman High, where tonight it's the Highlanders against the Roadrunners from Austin East. We're brought to you by OEB Law and Matlock Tire. And we look forward to being joined by Eric Kane for a Tennessee football practice report. We also look forward to bringing you comments from Vols defensive back Theo Jackson. But right now, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6.
And we're giving away a $25 gift card to Papa Murphy's. Their dough is made fresh daily. There are no freezers in their stores. They use 100% whole milk mozzarella cheese that's grated fresh daily. And the vegetables are hand-chopped. So that's what's up for grabs. $25 gift card to Papa Murphy's if you can answer this trivia question. Tennessee quarterback Brian Maurer threw for 259 yards in his true freshman debut as a starter. That's the second most in Tennessee history by a true freshman making his start at quarterback. Who threw for the most yards? Brian Maurer has the second most passing yards by a Tennessee true freshman quarterback starting in his debut. Which Tennessee quarterback holds that record?
656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Let's start with Daryl. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, what's going on?
Doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing good. Beautiful day out here. Hey, I'll have to go with my buddy Peyton.
It's not Peyton Manning. His first start, he threw for less than 100 yards against Washington State, in part because Tennessee's receivers, a bunch of them were hurt, and they didn't want to throw the football. But it's not Peyton Manning.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Daryl,
you.
Daryl, we appreciate it. Have a great night. We go next to Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
All right. It's one of these three, and I don't – it's either Tyler Bray, Eric Ames, or Casey Clawson. And I'm gonna go with Eric Haynes started it, but he shared time with that one guy. I'm gonna go Eric Haynes.
It is not Eric Haynes.
Jeff, appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great night. Fred is up next. Hello, Fred.
Okay, I'll go with Clawson then.
It is not Clawson.
Fred, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Who's up next, Sam? Let's go to Jacob. Hello, Jacob.
Hey, Streamer.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
It's not Shuler.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jacob, we sure do appreciate it. Thank you very much. Repeat the question, if you would.
Thank you.
Brian Maurer threw for 259 yards in his true freshman debut as a starting quarterback. That's the second most in Tennessee history. Who holds that record?
656-9900, 656-9900. Star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. Let's go to Seth. Hello, Seth.
Hello. I'm going to go with Casey Clawson.
Not Casey Clawson.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Seth, thank you very much. Enjoy your Thursday. It's Will who's next. Hello, Will.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing well. And yourself?
Pretty good. I'm going to go with Tyler Bray.
It is Tyler Bray. Yes, sir. Tyler Bray holds the record for the most passing yards by a Tennessee true freshman quarterback in his starting debut. He had 325 yards against Memphis in 2010. Hey, Will, congratulations to you. You've won a $25 gift card to Papa Murphy's. We're going to put you on hold and get that prize to you. Good job.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, way to go, Will. And that takes care of the Sports Fix at 6. We appreciate everyone that played and congratulate Will on winning with tonight's question. And we are now joined by a very special guest. as representing OEB Law, which does such a great job of making it possible for us to go from Rivalry Thursday spot to Rivalry Thursday spot, is Billy Silviar. Billy, how are you?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Doing quite well. And thank you so much for stepping on with us here. What's it like to be out here and representing OEB Law with the big check for Gatlinburg Pittman?
Oh, it's a wonderful opportunity for us to come out here and support the community. We love high school football. We love what it represents. And we love the opportunity to come out and help out where we can.
It's got to be nice to see Tim Elrod give you a chance to let somebody else come enjoy the Thursday nights.
Yeah, it is nice. Tim got held up at work today, and he decided to send me on out here to hand off a check, and we're truly honored to be able to do this for these kids.
You couldn't find a much better venue, right? I mean, you're sitting here looking at the Smoky Mountains here. You got a beautiful stadium with an artificial turf. This is a really neat setting, isn't it?
It's a fantastic place for a high school football game. The mountains in the background, the turf, the kids, they look happy. They look excited to be here, and I can't blame them. It's a wonderful venue for a football game.
You went to West High School. You were a baseball player there. You were a baseball player at Tusculum. Just talk a little bit about how much you appreciate high school sports.
High school sports is a fantastic opportunity for many, many people. It gives kids an opportunity to get involved in a team, and teamwork is a great tool for success going forward. I couldn't be more happy to have the opportunity to play high school baseball at West High School and just be a part of that team, and I'm truly appreciative.
Did you have much of an opportunity to go see any high school football games?
When I was at West?
Well, at West or now?
Well, yeah. When I was at West, we went to just about every high school football game. Currently, high school football, we come out and watch the Thursday games. I know Tim makes the Friday games as well, and we make it a chance to come out here and watch. We love high school football, and again, we love the community and the high school kids and what they represent out there on the football field, and we're happy to be a part.
Yeah, you mentioned not only is it the benefits of being a part of a team, but as you mentioned, it helps you down the road. What's it like to be a part of the successful team at OEB Law?
OEB Law is a fantastic place to work. The team there is sensational. You have fantastic attorneys at everywhere you look, and the people there truly care about the people who we represent, and that means the world to me.
Well, and you guys help out so many in so many different ways. If folks are in need of your services, and it starts with a visit to reckontoacheck.com, but what is the best way? Because, again, you guys help in so many different ways.
If you can't get to reckontoacheck.com, you can always give us a phone call. Phone number is 865-546-1111. Phones are always on, 8 to 5. Somebody will be there to answer for you, and they'll get you to the place you need to go.
So you've got Austin East, a team that's 4-2, 2-1 in the region, and then you've got the number 4 team in the state in 3A in Gatlinburg Pittman. How exciting is it to be on hand for a matchup like this? Because the Highlanders would love to get the upper hand against the Roadrunners, who are 8-2 against them in the regular season.
I'll tell you what, Austin East is never an easy football team to play against. I think Gatlinburg Pittman may have their hands full, but number 4 team in the state, it's hard to pull against. I think Gatlinburg Pittman will do just fine.
Billy, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. It's so nice to meet you. Enjoy being up here representing OEB Law with Rivalry Thursday.
Guys, I appreciate your time. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Billy.
We'll get a break. When we return, it'll be a Tennessee football practice report as Eric Kane joins us next on Sports Talk.
Making average people feel more attractive since 1876. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Radio WNML.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. It's Rivalry Thursday. We're here at Gatlinburg Pittman High School. Tonight, the Highlanders play host to Austin East. And we look forward to catching up with Eric Kane. It's going to take us a couple minutes to do that. But we invite you to join us, 656-9900, 656-9900.
John, we were talking a little bit early about Tennessee men's basketball. I do want to mention that there's going to be a an FCA night, and that's coming up November the 6th. Not only will Rick Barnes be there, Chris Blue is going to be there as well. So that should be a fun night for a lot of people. I'm sure you can go to the FCA website and find out more information. And then, of course, tonight we will find out which team advances in the American League to the championship series, Tampa Bay visiting the Houston Astros. Astros won 107 games this year, but that means absolutely nothing tonight. They throw Garrett Cole against a pitcher at Tampa Bay that's been hurt a little bit this year, but he's still a really good pitcher. So it's going to be interesting to see how that one plays out. But and then the ominous situation, if you're an Astros fan, the last three elimination games the visiting team has won.
Yes. And almost to the point where you think something's in the air.
Yeah. So.
But you had St. Louis jump on Atlanta with both feet and then some in the first half, yeah. Kind of ran over them with the team bus for that matter. And then it was the cool play by Washington as they let the Dodgers jump out to a 3-0 lead, manage that for the better part of the game. But then the Nationals caught them and then got a grand slam in the 10th inning to get the win.
Walker Buehler pitched beautifully, and then they came in with Kershaw. He gets a strikeout in the bottom of the 7th in the inning. They trot him back out there in the 8th inning, and he gives up back-to-back home runs on back-to-back pitches. It's only the second time in his career he's done it, and the other time he did it was in postseason play as well. So after the game, he said, look, all those people want to jump on me about what I'm doing in the postseason, go ahead, I deserve it. So,
yeah,
he said, I'll just continue to keep working hard to try to be a better pitcher in the postseason.
We are here at Gatlinburg Pittman, home of the Highlanders, and the pipes are calling. The pipes are calling as we see the band making its way to the field. That's just an awesome way to start any athletic gathering with bagpipes.
How about that? The Highlanders.
Yes,
yes sir. Yeah. So, yep, here they come.
Got the kilt going and everything.
That's right.
So, and we got to hear the band practice earlier. It's going to be an outstanding halftime show, and it's that's one of the great things do appreciate about Rivalry Thursday. Get the opportunity to hear some of the bands at the half.
Looks like somebody else is joining us wearing a kilt.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm trying to fit in up here.
Hey.
Eric Kane joins us for a Tennessee football practice report. Eric, how are you?
Guys, I'm good. Excited to be up here. You know, it's always been a good game when we have a Rivalry Thursday game up here at Gatlinburg Pittman. The scenery is absolutely beautiful. It's a great fall day. It's going to be a really good football team, a really good football game here tonight against Austin East. 4-3 on the season. A really good athletic quarterback. And then Gatlinburg Pittman, which is, you know, one of the top teams in the state, 7-0. Excited to be here tonight.
Yeah, 4-3 for the Roadrunners, 2-1 in the region. Gatlinburg Pittman, I guess, would be second in the region, just based on how it stands. Or I think it's alphabetical, going with Alcoa and Gatlinburg Pittman, since neither has a defeat. And then you've got Austin East in third place. But Gatlinburg Pittman posted back-to-back wins in the series. It's the only two wins they've had in recent memory against the Roadrunners, and there's nothing more they would like to do than to get a huge region win tonight and get to 4-0.
Oh, for sure. It's going to be, like I said, going to be a great football game. Talked to Coach Derek Rang of Gatlinburg Pittman last Friday, and he said, you know, this has been a game that, you know, you always want to focus on the game ahead, but this has been a game that's circled on the calendars every single year, so everyone here is excited for the opportunity for a good football showcase tonight.
And as far as the Tennessee football team, this practice report brought to you by Pools by Heritage. How do you feel about the Vols now that we're 2 days away from the Mississippi State game?
I think it's a very winnable game. It's not going to be easy, but I think these two teams are more evenly matched so than, you know, Tennessee's been up in the last recent weeks. I think Mississippi State can present some tremendous challenges with potentially playing two quarterbacks. I agree with Brent, which was on last hour, and he said that the freshman Schrader, which, you know, presents a dual threat atmosphere with some zone option and a little RPO, the ability to use his legs is something Tennessee has really struggled with defensively this year. So I'm on board with that. I think that'd be a struggle for Tennessee. So I would assume that we're going to see a lot more of him than Stevens, even though Stevens is healthy. But great opportunity for Brian Maurer to build upon a great start to his tenure as a starting quarterback for right now. Really good first half. You saw Georgia make adjustments to Maurer, and now you got to see Maurer make adjustments to those defenses. That's something Jeremy Pruitt immediately said following that game. So I'm feeling good. I think Tennessee, a great opportunity. Again, not going to come easy, but you've got to do what good teams do, create some turnovers, create some opportunities, and take advantage of those opportunities.
Eric, how concerned should Tennessee be about an offensive line that is banged up? We saw three or four offensive linemen leave the game. One came back during the course of the game against Georgia. Then Kennedy didn't go through all of his practice on Wednesday, and Jameer Johnson hadn't played in three games. How concerned is it for Tennessee along that offensive line?
It's a concern. You need to have a guy like Jameer Johnson back, a guy that started a left tackle against BYU when Tennessee ran for nearly 250 yards. He's an upperclassman, someone that's played both guard and tackle. I think he's very versatile, so you need to get him back. And he's done more at practice this week than we've seen him do in recent weeks. Of course, he's missed the last three games, so it's a good sign that Jameer Johnson is practicing the way he is. K'Ron Calvert, Darnell Wright, back-to-back plays went out in that fourth quarter. They've been practicing this week. Trey Smith went out for a limited time, but he came back, and he's been of course, he's a no-contact guy Tuesday and Wednesday, but Tennessee even went shells yesterday, or really just helmet and shoulder pads, or helmet and shorts, excuse me, to give him an opportunity to get more work in. So it is a concern. But, I mean, it's a point in season to where you get beat up a little bit and you kind of have to fight through that. But it seems like at the snap of the fingers, there's question marks about Tennessee's offensive line just health-wise. And then Brandon Kennedy yesterday, didn't see him do any of the individual periods when we were there in attendance. Jeremy Pruitt did say that he's just dealing with a sore knee, so he didn't take as many reps. He said that's all that is. So it leads you to believe that he's okay. But Christophe Perogene, who came in, you saw Jackson Lampley play some snaps. Some of these younger guys getting a look at the end of the Georgia game. Ollie Lane got in there for a little bit, a local guy. But you need Tennessee to be about as healthy as you can be on the offensive line to get off to a good start in the run game. Jeremy Pruitt, Ty Chandler, both of which have mentioned you've got to run the football. It's important to our offense. And now I would say it's vital when you have a young quarterback in Brian Maurer. Take some off him. If you run the football very well, obviously it opens up a lot in the passing game, and I just think it takes a lot of pressure off Brian Maurer so he doesn't feel like he has to do everything like he was doing in the first half of that Georgia game.
Alante Taylor, I want to ask you about him. He played both ways last year, at least starting practice. They ended up settling with him at cornerback. I thought he had a pretty good year. I don't think he's played as well this year, but just talk about the progression of Alante Taylor.
You know, Jeremy Pruitt said, I believe in camp leading up to the season this year, or at least it was early in the season, regardless of when it was, he said, you know, Bryce Thompson and Alante Taylor played last year because they were the best we had. They were all we had. They were the best we had. And he said he thinks that both did pretty well. Of course, Bryce Thompson went on to be a freshman All-American. He led the team with three interceptions. But, you know, walking away that day when he made those comments, I kind of had, well, if there's someone better, then he's not afraid to bench him. Jeremy Pruitt said yesterday that Alante Taylor didn't really play a whole lot of defense, and so he was learning that position last year, and he thought he did a nice job, and he's still learning that position, and so it's a work in progress. He thinks he's doing all right. He's playing all right, but, you know, Warren Burrell, the emergence of him as a true freshman, kind of put some damper time on Alante Taylor's time. Bryce Thompson being gone the first couple weeks of the season, but now he's back. Kenneth George seems to be playing a little bit better. So the snaps have been a little limited more so for Taylor this year, but he's still a factor and he still plays a huge role in this defense. When we think of Alante Taylor this year, we think of the long play against BYU when he lets that up. And, of course, they go down, kick the game-winning field goal, double overtime. You know the story from there. Jeremy Pruitt mentioned that, you know, there are a lot of us that are making mistakes, but when a cornerback makes a mistake, everyone and your mother knows who made that mistake, and it's the cornerback. It's very visible. He said a three technique can have the wrong alignment, and no one will know. The middle linebacker can have the wrong gap integrity, no one will know. And I get that. I speak that language. But when a cornerback gets beat or has a blown assignment, everyone knows. So he was making the point saying that, yeah, Alante Taylor's made some mistakes, but so has everyone else. You just might not know about it. But I think Alante Taylor, the more he continues to play and learn that position, the better he'll get. But his health has been a big key, and he was banged up a little bit last week, played, and it looks like he's going to be okay as well for this week.
Brian Maurer is a good runner, but Tennessee did not utilize that much in the game plan against Georgia. Do you think they might use him more as a runner against Mississippi State?
I think so, and just anything to mix some things up. And you're right, didn't use his legs a whole lot against Georgia, but that might not be the case against Mississippi State. State's defense last year was so good, but lost a lot, and it's not nearly as good as what it was last year. Try to mix some things up, take advantage of if you're hitting the run hard, and that run game does get going with Ty Chandler or Tim Jordan, maybe Eric Gray. You hit it hard, and then you pull it on an RPO or you keep it on a zone read, and then that could be a big game. You saw Kyle Trask do that against Tennessee a couple weeks ago in the swamp. So Brian Maurer has the ability, and I think Tennessee, you know, the second week, or really I guess this could be the third week, determining on when the coaching staff decided he was going to be the starter, that he's been prepping as the number one guy and, you know, building a game plan around the strengths of Brian Maurer. And so I think that's something that you could see this week.
Any other news or notes?
That'll be about it, guys. Again, Tennessee and Mississippi State, noon on Saturday. And it's a big game for Tennessee, looking for its first SEC win of the season, looking to snap a two-game losing streak. And it's a winnable game. And it's one of those games. Jeremy Pruitt said yesterday, last night during ball calls, we as a coaching staff, we can see the improvements since day one we've been here. We can see it. We are so much improved. Earlier this year, he said we're 100 times better than we were last year. But sooner or later, you got to win some football games. And he kind of closed that out there on his ball call segment. You know, the fans need to see that. I think I heard Brent earlier say, you know, recruits need to see that. And so this is one of those games. I don't think it's a do-or-die type game, but this is a game to where if you win this game, I think it could really help in a number of areas for this program. So looking forward to being at Neyland Stadium, noon Saturday, right here on the Sports Animal. We'll have the coverage. Today's UT football practice reports brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Get your pool started now. From design to construction to maintenance, one call does it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527 or visit online at poolsbyheritage.com.
Eric, good luck with everything tonight with Rivalry Thursday, as well as the scoreboard tomorrow night on high school football. And thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. I look forward to it.
We'll get a break and be back with more. This is Sports Talk.
Download the TuneIn app so you can take 99.1 The Sports Animal with you wherever you go.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. Rivalry Thursday brought to you by OEB Law and Matlock Tire. We're at Gatlinburg Pittman tonight. The Highlanders host Austin East. Time now to see if Michael can score a Ford as he heard the cue to call. Michael, how are you?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
Doing well. We sure do appreciate your listening, and thank you for calling in. How do you see it playing out? Tennessee, Mississippi State, Saturday noon.
I say 27-21 balls.
So you like Tennessee 27, Mississippi State 21, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I wish you the very best of luck with your prediction as well as the drawing. Thanks you again for listening. Have a great rest of your week, Michael.
You do the same, sir.
So Michael's score goes in with the others. There'll be a random drawing tomorrow. If Michael's is drawn and Tennessee wins 27-21, he will score a Ford, a brand-new Ford F-150 valued at about $45,000 from Ted Russell Ford. Listen for your next opportunity to give your prediction. That'll be tomorrow morning between 6 and 9 on the starting lineup. And speaking of the starting lineup, Tyler Ivins sits in the air chair, which normally is in the studio at Sports Radio WNML, but this week he is on the roof at Toyota of Knoxville. Tyler, what has day three been like?
All right, so I'll be 100% with you right now, Wilkerson. I thought Wednesday was going to be my wall day, and what I mean by that is, what's the day where I hit the wall where I'm kind of like, oh man, this is literally staying up here until Tennessee wins. I thought it was going to be yesterday. It happened today, and I don't know if this is a good or bad thing, but in my normal routines every day, I'll do the morning show, I'll do a lot of the things that Will and I do after the show to kind of get ready for the next day's show, and by lunchtime, I'll go home and I'll probably catch a nap with the Golden Retriever. Today was the first day that I actually had a chance to take a nap, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because that means I'm getting adjusted to all the noise from Interstate 40. And that means that I might have been out here way too long. But that also means we're a day closer to the weekend, which means we're a day closer to Tennessee beating Mississippi State on Saturday.
You got a visit from the mayor today. How about that?
You know what? I'm a huge fan of Glenn. Glenn Jacobs, he's always been a guy that I have obviously watched from his days of professional wrestling, and I've had a chance to befriend him since returning to Knoxville. Glenn reached out to me first thing and was where we were working on schedules, and the fact that he could stop by not only providing food from one of my favorite restaurants in town, I'll just leave it at that, but I mean, I got to sit down with him for close to 45, 60 minutes, and it wasn't even like we were up here on the roof. We literally just talked about everyday things, and he, you know, his company for the hour or so, it made the time kind of pass by, and then it was a constant reminder because of how long he's known Will that maybe next time I should learn how to keep my mouth shut, and then I don't get stuck in these predicaments. But it is what it is.
Tyler, what are the keys for Tennessee to get you off the roof?
So, Jimmy, I was looking at this the other day, and you know, we can go back and forth on this, but Kylan Hill, I think, is a running back that not a lot of people in the SEC talk about. I don't know if it's because he's in the SEC West and his name is not a running back from Bama or LSU, or he's not one of the other prize pieces that Georgia has in the East, but Kylan Hill does not go down easy. This is a guy who leads the SEC in yards after contact, which coincidentally is my favorite stat. I mean, if you talk to me, you know, what is it about football? The yards after contact always stand out to me. The guys who can take on the first hit, the first blow, and keep churning. 344 yards after contact this year for Kylan Hill. Okay. Tennessee the last couple of weeks has arm tackled. There's been some miscues. It just, if there's any game where Tennessee just needs to put face mask to chest, find numbers, and just get a ball carrier to the ground, it's not just Kylan Hill. All of Mississippi State, it just kind of seems like that they have a second gear. And in my time in the Big Ten covering a lot of the programs, I had a chance to see Joe Moorhead's offense quite a few times at Penn State. Now, granted, he had playmakers like Allen Robinson and Saquon Barkley and Trace McSorley. I don't think he'll ever get that kind of talent down at Mississippi State, but the one thing they do have in common is, much like Happy Valley and Starkville, as I just mentioned, those guys, they hit, they run, and they wait till they hear the whistle. Some players give up, not Mississippi State. Those guys will get every yard out of every carry if they can.
Would you be concerned about Mississippi State playing Schrader, who's a much more mobile quarterback?
You know what? That's a great point. Will and I were going back and forth on that today about whether it's Stevens or whether it's Schrader. In a game where I understand the weather forecast, it continues to fluctuate between heavy rains to maybe it'll miss some areas at certain times. If there's any rain in the forecast, honestly, I think it's kind of a toss-up. I think it's up in the air. I mean, there is a chance that you're going to see, at times, two freshmen playing in this game, depending on if Schrader does get the start for Mississippi State. And one thing I've noticed going back and watching Mississippi State's games, I clearly have a lot of time to do so up here, whether it's the opener against Louisiana, whether it was the blowout against Auburn, Kansas State. I've noticed that Garrett Schrader, he's not consistent enough. There'll be one play where he'll throw a rope down the sidelines and it's pass catch to the receiver and they'll move the chains for 20-something yards. Then the very next play, he'll hold on to the football way too long and just get driven into the turf and he's plucking grass out of his face mask. So if you're asking me who I'd be more concerned with, I guess the consistency of Tommy Stevens, but this is Stevens who has had to leave three of Mississippi State's games already this year due to injury. So, yeah, they clearly have issues when it comes to trying to nail down who their quarterback is. But good on Jeremy Pruitt yesterday officially naming Maurer the quarterback for the starter for the second consecutive week. Moorhead's going to continue to play that kind of shuffle card, find the queen game until he actually names who he is.
Hey, Tyler, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. Hang in there. Look forward to hearing from you on with the Tennessee Sports Night crew a little bit later, as well as tomorrow morning on the starting lineup. But hang in there.
Boys, I will see you Saturday. I'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you, guys.
All right, that's Tyler Ivins at Toyota in Knoxville. We'll get a break. A final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk is next.
I know it's hard to keep up, but we ain't slowing down. 99.1, the sports animal.
Final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk.
Let's hear now from Theo Jackson, Tennessee safety. He has started after the first couple of games. He's done a pretty good job. He met with the media on Tuesday. Here are comments from the junior safety, Theo Jackson.
Would you talk about the challenges of facing a quarterback, one the drop-back passer and another one that likes to run, how difficult that is to deal with that?
I feel like just accounting for both their talents, we're just going to have to keep them both contained as best as we can and just get pressure on them.
When you have a quarterback that's more likely to run, does that test your eye discipline to make sure that you don't come up too quickly?
Definitely. We just got to play. We'll keep everything in front of us, and just in case they want to run like a trick play with the quarterback, you know, we just got to read our keys better.
It's surprising that the quarterback who runs, you know, he's not exactly a small guy. Does he look kind of quicker than you would think when you look at a guy that big back there?
Yeah, he moves pretty well. He sees himself as a dual threat quarterback. So we're just gonna have to account for what he can do and just be more prepared for him.
The overall in RPO situations that you guys have gone up against this year, how have you guys graded out in those situations?
I mean, we practice going against RPOs all the time because our offense does it too. So we have some experience going on against it. I think we've been doing pretty well on them.
We talked to Nigel moments ago, and he talked about how the team's playing with more personality right now because everybody trusts each other more at this point of the season. Are you seeing that more on the field?
Yeah, I am. We're becoming more like together as one, and we're just playing more confident. As you see, the first half of Georgia, we played very well, but we just gotta sustain that effort.
Is this defensive scheme much different than it was a year ago?
No, it's the same scheme. We just starting to pick it up better and learn a bit more than we did.
Is it hard to learn?
Essentially, yeah, it's hard to learn, but once you get it, you just always know it, and now it's just learning better. So, you know.
Yeah, when you look at sort of the impact on the game from turnovers and tackle for loss numbers, I mean, I think it was just one game, but I think Georgia maybe had 11 or 12 TFLs, and y'all had two in that game. How do you get more disruptive as a defense and kind of force more turnovers, get in the backfield, get picks and that stuff?
Causing turnovers, that's just want to. Like getting the ball off the runner, just taking it from him. That's just want to picks. That's just come from good technique and eyes. Really, it's just a scheme based thing that can get us back there for tackles for loss.
What do you remember about playing for Bob Shoup a couple of years ago? And obviously, you'll be met going up against him this week. What were your memories that stick out from that year? And just have you communicated with him at all since then?
I don't really remember his defense. I mean, but like he was a good coach, and I'm good friends with his son, so we have a good relationship.
He helped recruit you too, didn't he? Because I know he was a guy who was pretty excited when they got a commitment from y'all. I mean, was he kind of a big part of maybe not the reason why you came here, but certainly he helped that.
Yeah, because everywhere he's been successful with his defenses, so. So he helped me get here, and I wanted to be a part of that.
Have y'all talked to Jay about not talking to his dad this week? Or?
No, not really. That has to do with him. It ain't got nothing to do with me.
What have you seen from Bryce since he came back?
I've seen a lot of development from him. He's definitely matured a lot since that last incident, and I'm liking what I've seen from him.
Hey, you practice against Brian obviously all the time. What were you surprised at how he was able to come out in the first half the other night and be so successful?
No, I wasn't surprised because he does it in practice too. And I mean, what you do in practice, you do it during the game. So his confidence level was high in practice. So I wasn't really surprised when he done it in the game also.
Even though you're on the different side of the ball, can the confidence level, just the attitude of the quarterback, can that affect the defense? Can it, you know, give you guys a spark?
Honestly, yeah. Because if he's up in spirits and getting everybody going, then that gets us going. Plus in practice, if he's going, then the offense goes, and then that makes us better as a defense.
Are there any scout team guys on either side of the ball that haven't impressed you, that have stood out on the team to this point that you could point out?
They all have been doing a really good job, but I would say D'Angelo Gibbs has been doing well. He's been giving us a great look all year. So, like, him especially.
What's the reason you're playing more? What's occurred that has led you to start these games and play as well as you have?
I would say just me learning. Like I've said it before, like just learning the defense and just getting pointers from the coaches. Plus, they've been where I want to get to, so just learning from them, that really helped me out a lot.
Have you seen the defense have fewer mistakes in recent games as opposed to the start of the year?
Yeah, because our communication have gotten better. So we've all been watching more film and just getting it all together, and just going over everything and making sure everybody's on the same page.
Did your mindset to have success change at all going into this season, or like you said, is it solely just that you know the plays more?
My mindset is always to just be as good as I can be, but it's really just learning and just having to having more confidence to do everything that I know I'm able to do.
What's it like being on the field and having that confidence, something that is probably at an all-time high for you in college?
Oh, it's actually like helped me out a lot, because when I'm on the field and I'm out there with my brothers, it's just very, very comforting for me, and then I can play how I play, and then they'll compliment me just the same way.
There's been a couple times this season where it seems like guys are confused right before the ball's about to be snapped. Do you see that, and what do you think is causing that?
I haven't really seen that, because we've just been trying to get everybody on the same page, but it's probably just lack of communication. That's the main thing, probably all it is.
One more. How would you describe Coach Pruitt after a loss? What's his demeanor like addressing you guys?
Obviously, like he's not happy because we lost, but he's very, very encouraging, just telling us to it's just time to go back to work, and we just gotta forget what just happened, and we'll move on to the next team.
Tennessee safety Theo Jackson, his comments as Tennessee prepares to play Mississippi State. And one of the things that Jackson and the Tennessee defense have to do better is tackle. They didn't do such a great job tackling against Georgia. A lot of missed tackles, a lot of yards after contact, and Kylan Hill with Mississippi State's one of the best in the league at that. Another interesting note about Mississippi State, when they get 400 yards of total offense under Joe Moorhead, they're 9-0. And when they run for over 200 yards, they don't lose either under Joe Moorhead. So a couple of things to watch for: 200-yard rushing game and 400 yards of total offense for Mississippi State.
We sure do appreciate everyone that makes our Rivalry Thursday appearances possible. We say thank you to OEB Law. We say thank you to Matlock Tire. We say thank you to all the hospitality here at Gatlinburg-Pittman High, where the number 4 team in 3A football. The Highlanders play host to Austin East. The Roadrunners 4-3, 2-1 in region play. The Highlanders 3-0. And we'll have a full night of high school football coverage on our group of stations tomorrow night. But that's going to do it for Sports Talk today. And we invite you to stay tuned. Is up next, it's Tennessee Sports Night. It will be Heather Harrington and Brian Rice that will be with you from 7 until 7:30. They'll be talking about all kinds of things. You've got Game 5 between the Astros and the Rays. You've got the start of Week 6 in the National Football League with the Giants and the Patriots. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you again for listening this afternoon here with Sports Talk.